Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, last time we said that Elisha, God's servant, died and was buried, but God isn't dead. And so God's word was still powerfully at work, and God raised up various messengers. But in 2 Kings, we're going to look quickly at some things in chapter 14 through verse 7 of chapter 15, and then we're going to get the fuller account from Chronicles. So 2 Kings 14, beginning in verse 23, in the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn away from any of the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the sea of the Arabah in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. The Lord had seen how bitterly everyone in Israel, whether slave or free, was suffering. There was no one to help them. And since the Lord had not said he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, son of Jehoash. As for the other events of Jeroboam's reign, all he did and his military achievements, including how he recovered for Israel both Damascus and Hamath, which had belonged to Yaudi, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? Jeroboam rested with his fathers, the kings of Israel, and Zechariah, his son, succeeded him as king. I want to summarize that section. Bad and blessed. Here was a king who reigned for 41 years. He was a bad guy. He did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And God blessed the nation and him in spite of it. Remember last time we said it is because of the Lord's great compassion that we are not destroyed? This is a prime example of that. Now we continue in chapter 15, down through verse 7. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. The high places, however, were not removed. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. The Lord afflicted the king with leprosy until the day he died, and he lived in a separate house. Jotham, the king's son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of Israel. As for the other events of Azariah's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? Azariah rested with his fathers and was buried near them in the city of David, and Jotham, his son, succeeded him as king. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. You got a guy who reigns for 41 years, and he's wicked, and God blesses. That's in the kingdom of Israel. You got a guy in Judah who really pretty much does the right thing, and he ends up with leprosy. What in the world is going on? Well, we get a fuller picture of what was going on if we look in 2 Chronicles 26. So just flip forward some pages to 2 Chronicles 26. And we're going to learn more about this fellow who's also known as Uzziah. And he's the king in Judah who got leprosy. Here's how it happened. 2 Chronicles 26. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Eleth and restored it to Judah after Amaziah rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. He went to war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jabneh, and Ashdod. He then rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabs who lived in Gerbaal and against the Munites. The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful. Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle of the wall, and he fortified them. He also built towers in the desert and dug many cisterns because he had much livestock in the foothills and in the plain. He had people working his fields and vineyards in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Uzziah had a well-trained army, ready to go out by divisions according to their numbers as mustered by Jeiel, the secretary, and Maaseiah, the officer under the direction of Hananiah, one of the royal officials. The total number of family leaders over the fighting men was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 men trained for war, a powerful force to support the king against his enemies. Uzziah provided shields, spears, helmets, coats of armor, bows, and sling stones for the entire army. In Jerusalem, he made machines designed by skillful men for use on the towers and on the corner defenses to shoot arrows and hurl large stones. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him in. They confronted him and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who've been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God." Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous, and excluded from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. The other events of Uzziah's reign from beginning to end are recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. Uzziah rested with his fathers and was buried near them in a field for burial that belonged to the kings, for the people said, "He had leprosy." And Jotham, his son, succeeded him as king. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Wow, now we got a little more detail. Uzziah was a guy governing God's people, Judah, and God really blessed him. There was a bit of instruction. He had a mentor, Zechariah, who said that you need to do this and you need to understand this. He took it to heart. He walked in it. He sought to honor the Lord, and God blessed him and blessed him and blessed him and blessed him until he became very powerful. And when he became powerful, his attitude shifted, and he began to think, look what I've done. Look who I am. I'm famous. I've accomplished all this. After Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God. Pride will do you in. In our world, we tend to honor the proud and kind of feel bad for the humble. That's totally perverted, because humility is what God honors. And all of us are going to answer to him. Main point today is from James chapter 4. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Take a look in James chapter 4, beginning with that verse, verse 6. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, reading through verse 10. But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. It's been a lot of years now. It was back when the counseling center was in Kirkland Hollow, a long time ago. I was working there and the phone rang, and it was the father of one of our female students. Apparently he'd had a conversation with her that was troubling. He had sent her off to school here, and now she was starting to view herself differently. He said, "Are you trying to destroy my child's self-image?" That was his question. Are you trying to destroy my child's self-image? Let me ask you a question. If my self-image is that I am the fastest guy on campus, okay, I can outrun any of you. Now, folks, if I really thought that about myself, it would be a kindness for someone to disabuse me of my ridiculous self-image, right? Because if I'm really walking around thinking that I'm the fastest guy on campus, nobody could outrun me. I'm nuts! You understand? And we don't do people a loving service by reinforcing they're crazy. Pride is crazy. Because we are creatures made by God on a little planet in a little solar system as part of a vast universe, all of which he made. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says he caught a glimpse of the Lord. And when he did, he fell to the ground and said, "Woe is me. I am undone." Why? Because he saw God. He saw God. When you get a glimpse of him, humility comes easily. When you understand just a fraction of his greatness, you don't feel so great. Why would it say here, "Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom"? Is it because all of God's people are supposed to go around always just down in the mouth? No. The reason to weep, to grieve, to mourn, to wail, is because of our sin. But God has a solution. Not only does he forgive us, he cleanses us, and he lifts us up. "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." He will lift you up. That's a promise from God. But now, we're not going to be going along saying, "Yep, look at me." We're going to be saying, "God is so great. God is so great. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Our excitement is not going to be about us and what we can do. It's about him and what he does. God is magnificent. And our whole goal is not to tell people that we're wonderful. It's to tell people how wonderful our God is. A fellow I knew used to welcome people to his, welcome children to his children's home, which was in another state, by saying, "I want you to know, I will never lie to you, I will never abuse you, and I will always be there for you." And a lot of kids found that very reassuring. I've never said that to any of the kids here at the ranch, and I've never said that to my own biological children. I have told them, "I will not lie to you." And I would tell you that today. I will not lie to you. I will not abuse you. But I cannot promise to always be there for you, because one of these days I won't be. You understand? But here's what I want, is to introduce you to someone I know who will never lie to you, who will never abuse you, and who will always be there for you. If you trust in Jesus, you have an anchor, because he will not let you go. He will always be there for you. I'm going to die someday. And I have God's promise on that. Okay? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But here's the thing. Jesus already died and conquered death. He didn't come back for a while. He lives and reigns forever. And if your confidence is in him, you can be absolutely secure at all times, because your image now is not about yourself. It's focused on him. You're looking to the Lord. You're trusting in his grace, his power, his sufficiency. I have worked hard to try and make sure that I'll be able to take care of my wife and my oldest son during my retirement years, which may never come. But I've tried to, you know, save and invest, and I've tried to. It can all get wiped out today. I'm not worried because God is my salvation. Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. The Lord has promised he will never leave us or forsake us. So, if you look at him, you don't have to be afraid. The Bible does not just say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Are you submitted to God? Are you trusting in him? When we come to the scriptures, we see again and again people just like us. When we started the series on Elijah, it was with the verse from James that says Elijah was a man just like us. Uzziah was a man just like us. He submitted himself to the Lord. He sought to do God's will, and God poured the blessings into his life, and he began to think it was him instead of realizing it was the Lord. He began to think he did it. What are you going to do with your life? Music? Math? What's your strong suit? Charm? Just thinking maybe sales, okay? Okay. Mechanic? Physicist? Professor? What do you hope for? God can do more with your life than you can imagine. But if he does, and you start to think, I did it! You are setting yourself up for a fall. One of our former students who left during high school, but says that her time here made a big difference, has won 2 Tony Awards on Broadway. That's amazing. I mean, really amazing. Most people don't make it to Broadway. Most people who make it to Broadway don't get a Tony. Most people who get a Tony don't get another Tony. She got 2, and I think both while she was still in her 20s. As a producer, not an actress. Amazing! Isn't that amazing? Yeah, it is. My concern for her is, how's her walk with God? Because everything else goes away. You know what my concern for you is? How's your walk with God? Are you trusting in him? Are you humble before him? I had the privilege of knowing Billy Graham when I was growing up. They were neighbors of ours in Montreat. And somebody asked Billy's wife, as Billy was the most famous guy on the planet at the time, more than the athletes, more than the president, more than the Pope. Billy was the most famous guy for decades. And somebody said, Ruth, are you afraid that the pride is going to get to him? And she said, oh, no. I said, why not? She said, because I see him on his face before God in prayer. What'll keep you humble? Look to God. Humble yourself before the Lord. If you look at him, you will not be proud. You will be grateful.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.